We welcome you to the Tabernacle Podcast, brought to you by the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit our website, tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. You can find other sermons like this one on Apple Podcast, YouTube, and Sermon Audio. It is our prayer that God has used this message to be an encouragement to your heart.
I'd like for you to go with me this morning to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter number 27. And in a week such as this, so we were away for this week on a vacation, and our teachers were at the teachers' convention, and then a storm comes, and the devastation that has occurred as a result of that, that really none of us anticipated when the week began. And you come home, and you see trees down, power lines down, half the city without electricity. You hear about what's happening in Asheville and Boone and Blowing Rock and all those areas. You certainly want to be a help to people, and you want to minister to them. And I believe God's directed me to this passage as I've prayed about that. And even this morning was very unsure of what God would have me to preach to you. So I want to encourage you to pray for me that God will help me this morning, because I certainly don't feel adequately prepared. But I do believe God is directing. So we come to Acts 27. And the Bible said, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship to Alexandria, sailing into Italy. And he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon, and hardly passing it, came to a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. We have here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a recording, a writing that Luke penned with his own hands, and he details for us the travels of the Apostle Paul as he, as a prisoner, was transported from Jerusalem to Rome, and there he would appeal to Caesar and stand before him and make his appeal. The Jews tried to kill him and condemn him to death, but they could not do so without the aid of the Roman government. And so Paul, because he was a citizen, appealed to Caesar. And now he's being transported from Jerusalem to Rome. And we find here a very detailed record of the events of this voyage, the twists and the turns of the trip, and the difficulty that they encountered. And though Paul warned the centurion, and though he warned the shipmaster, don't travel, it's too dangerous, they did not listen. And they sailed right into a storm. And finding themselves in that storm, in verse number 20, the Bible says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Now, they needed the stars to navigate that boat. And we know that when the sun and the stars don't appear, it's because the clouds above. And we understand that they were in a strong, tempestuous storm, and the ship was tossed. And the Bible says here in verse number 20 that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. The Bible tells us there were 276 people on board that boat. Some of them Roman soldiers, the centurion, escorting the prisoners from Jerusalem to Rome. Some of them the ship's crew, helping make sure that everyone got safely to their destination. Experienced sailors they were. And then many other just passengers, perhaps going to Rome for a business transaction, perhaps going to see family and friends. We really don't know what their business was or why they were on the ship, but they were on the ship. And when they got in the ship, they found themselves in the midst of a tempestuous storm. And they came to a point, the Bible says, that all hope was taken away. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, when all hope is gone. When all hope is gone. I imagine there were merchants on board that ship. The Bible speaks of the lading of the ship, the wheat in the ship. There were merchants on board that boat, and perhaps they had labored to bring in a harvest. And now they're transporting that harvest to market. But within a few days, it would all be gone. Everything they had worked for, destroyed. Their lives in danger. Perhaps they thought, we won't survive this storm. And all hope was taken away. We live in a world that is sinking. Amen. We live in a world that is raging in a tempestuous storm. Amen. And it seems like the light of day hasn't been seen in this nation, in this world, in a long, long time. The Bible tells us that Jesus came into the world. He came into the world as the light of the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, and they would not come into the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. You see, we live in a nation that has turned its back on God. We live in a nation that has chosen darkness over truth, and when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart has been darkened. They don't know God. They don't want God. They don't know God. And they're walking in darkness. And we're sailing through life with them. I don't know if there were other believers on board the boat. I'm sure there was the company that went with Paul, but perhaps there weren't very many believers. I wouldn't think that there were, according to the record that we have here in Acts chapter 27. And what we find is that Paul began to warn them, fellas, this isn't a good time to sail. In fact, the time of the year that they were sailing in, they knew that the sea was prone to storms, but the shipmaster who had an agenda, who wanted to make a dollar, who no doubt wanted to get somewhere in a hurry, said, no, we're going to make it. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 12, the more part advised to depart thence also. The more part, meaning there were more people there. And that we know there were 276 on board. So here's what we can think. The majority had spoken, and the majority said, let's keep sailing. But Paul said, wait a minute, I'm just going to tell you, if you sail on right now, you're going to face a storm. There is a storm coming. And I want you to know, there is a storm coming on this world unlike any storm it has ever known, when the judgment of God's wrath is poured out upon this world. While people have put their hopes in this world, they've put their hopes in political movements, they put their hopes in their material goods and their dreams and aspirations and their loves of pleasure and love of self, they pin their hopes upon this world, but there's coming a day when the judgment of God is going to come upon this world and all hope will be gone. All hope will be gone. And so you think about a storm that forms in the Gulf and makes its way across the state of Florida and ends up in North Carolina and East Tennessee and wreaks such havoc and devastation. And God reminds us how frail this life is, how fragile it is. How the things that we love, our homes, our vehicles, our hobbies, our interests, our properties, our acquisitions, can be gone in a moment. And more importantly, those that we love and our own lives, gone in a moment. There are people in this moment who are crying out for help. They need somebody to help them. And there are people who are doing their best. One of our own men out there right now doing his best to get to people to help them. And God reminds us where we need to put our hope. Because if our hope is in anything but Him, well, surely we see that all hope is lost. As we go through an election season, as we hear those who aspire to lead our country tell us that if they're elected, they'll make sure that every woman can have an abortion at any time she wants for any reason. And that's paraded and celebrated. It certainly tells us that our nation has entered into a period that seems beyond hope, doesn't it?
Amen.
Now, before you get too discouraged, I'm going to lead you to a place of great encouragement today. But the truth of the matter is, as we've seen the events that have taken place in recent years in our country, it's been greatly discouraging, hasn't it? And I hope that you've come to learn that there's no political party that's going to save us. Maybe one that you thought would have proven to you by now that they won't. And that's certainly what they've proven to me. And you see the dark clouds and you feel the breeze and you can feel the rain begin to fall. The storm is coming. But what do we do when all hope is gone? Well, I think we find some things in here that will help us this morning. First of all, I want you to look in verse 21. All hope is gone. Everything we pinned our hopes on in this society, in this world, has failed us. What are we going to do? Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there should be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. He stood forth in the midst of that despair, in the midst of that darkness, and he shined a great light. And here's what he said. He said, sirs, I got some bad news. The ship's in trouble, but let me give you some good news. We're all going to be safe. We're all going to make it. And I want to give you some good news this morning. If you know Jesus, we're all going to make it. We may suffer some damage and we may suffer some loss and we may deal with some hardship and we may have to listen to a doctor give us a cancer diagnosis and we may see some disruption and some disappointment in our family and in our church and have some difficulties and trials. But let me just tell you, if you know Jesus, you're going to make it safely onto the other side. So when all hope is gone, number one, we have an opportunity to declare the good news. We have an opportunity to declare the good news. The good news is, fellas, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. God is going to see us through. Now, how did he know that? Well, he tells us how he knew that. In verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And what did he say to you, Paul? Here's what he said. Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You see, the best thing that ever happened to that centurion and that boat captain happened when Paul's feet stepped on board that ship. Because that was God's child, and God had a purpose and a plan for his child, and he was going to bring him through. And I want to tell you, we are God's children, and God has a purpose and a plan for his children, and God is going to see us through. And while we're going through, let's take as many of them with us as we can. You see, we have an opportunity when all hope is gone to declare the good news. Notice what Paul said in verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of, would you say the next two words with me, church? Good cheer. Again, in verse number 25, wherefore, sirs, be of, would you say them with me? Good cheer. Be of good cheer. There's good news. I want to tell you, there's some good news for you. For all of us who are born in sin, under the curse of sin. The wages of sin is death. The Bible teaches us that. And in Adam, all die. But friends, I've got some good news that in Jesus Christ, all shall be made alive. And if you don't know Jesus today, you can receive him by faith as your Savior. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Put your trust in him, the one who went to the cross of Calvary and suffered and bled and died, bearing the payment, making the payment for your sin and for mine. He tasted death for all of us. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. And if you will acknowledge your sin and repent of it and turn to Jesus, he will forgive you of your sin. He will give you a home in heaven. He will give you a ticket that will punch you and lead you safely through. That's the good news. And I think about the countless homes in Hickory, North Carolina, who haven't heard the good news. There's a dark cloud in their life. There's a dark cloud in that home. And they don't know Jesus. They're under the sentence of death, under the wrath of God. And they haven't realized it. But there's coming a moment, there's coming a time when they're going to realize it. And by God's grace, may we be ready even now to declare to them the good news. That's what we exist to do. I grew up in a Christian home. I thank God for that. I had Christian parents and I had Christian grandparents, and they took me to church and I heard the Bible preached. I remember singing the songs in Sunday school as a preschooler. This is all I've ever known. But do you know that there are people who have never had the opportunity that you've had? They've grown up in homes and they've grown up in families that they do not know God. They have no knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have no knowledge of the truth of God's word. They know about churches and they know about church people, and a lot of their opinions aren't very favorable. But I want you to know, we're not here to promote church culture. We're here to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And may God help us to declare the good news in our city. When all hope is gone, we have an opportunity to declare the good news. I'm glad Paul didn't sit there, in anxiety and anxiousness. I'm glad that he didn't just say, they wouldn't listen to me, although he did remind them that he had told them that he tried to help them. I'm glad that he stood forth. And I want to say this to you, as it gets darker in this world, may God give us the grace and strength to stand forth and to declare what God has said. And by the way, how can we declare what God has said if we don't know what he said? Oh, we need to know God's word. We need to be filled with God's truth. And notice what he said. He said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he spoke to me." And he said in verse 24, "Fear not, for thou must be brought before Caesar." You see, if we want to hear God's voice, we've got to spend time in God's presence, don't we? So we have an opportunity today, when all hope is gone, to declare the good news. Let me give you a second thought. When all hope is gone, we must stay together. When all hope is gone, we must stay together. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 27. "But when the 14th night was come," 2 weeks now they've been out here in this storm, "when the 14th night was come and we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." You see, these shipmen were experienced men of the sea. And they realized they were getting closer to shore. And they began to fear that the waves would be so forceful that it would drive the ship along the coast into the rocks and break the ship apart, and they would all be killed. And so the shipmen decided that because they knew that to be true, the best thing they could do was save themselves. So they let down a lifeboat as if they were letting down some anchors. But Paul knew what they were doing. And he said to the centurion in verse 31, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." If those guys go, we're in trouble. And I want to say this to you. If we're the shipmen, the people of God, who know the waters and know where this thing is heading, if we decide to bail out, what are the rest of them going to do? You see, I think a lot of people don't think about that. They get discouraged in a church and they get aggravated about something. Maybe they don't like somebody or somebody said something to them or they get their feelings hurt. And by the way, that happens in your family too, but you haven't left your family, I hope at least. And we have a temptation to want to jump ship. Paul said, hey, fellas, you can't do that. You can't do that. If you jump ship, number one, you're going to die. Number two, the rest of us are. Hey, Roman centurion, you have authority here. Don't let these guys jump ship. We got to stay in this thing together if we're going to see it through. I just want to say to you, we need to stay together. This is no time to jump ship. You see, they'd heard the good news. I'm sure they were encouraged by the good news, because if they knew anything about Paul by now, here's what they knew. They knew that he walked with God. And so they heard the good news, but yet day after day, it continued on in the same way. It didn't look as if things were getting better. And maybe you're in a stage in your life where it doesn't look like things are getting any better, and you're really tempted to jump ship. Can I say this to you? Don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. Don't forsake the assembling of God's people. Don't leave the place of God's blessing. Don't leave the service of the Lord to just drift aimlessly in the sea. You see, we need to stay together. And so we come to verse 33, and we find a third thing. We find that when all hope is gone, we have an opportunity to declare the good news. We find that when all hope is gone, it's no time to jump ship. We must stay together. And then thirdly, we find that we must strengthen one another. We must strengthen one another. Look in verse 33. "And while the day was coming on." Now these men had wished for the day. And now the day was coming on. The light was coming. "Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat for this for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat, and were in all in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea, And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. Now, these people hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. I imagine they were sick, wouldn't you think? The sea tossing them up and down. They didn't think they were going to make it through a night. Now they've been there 14 nights in a row, and they haven't eaten a bite. And Paul said, hey, you need to eat something. You need to strengthen yourself. And the Bible tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to consider one another. We're to provoke one another unto love and to good works. You see, there is a strengthening effect that God's people have on one another. We need the strength of this fellowship. We need the strength of God's presence. But the most important thing we need is the strength of God's word. You see, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, every day God gave them something to eat. Manna fell upon the ground. And they were able each morning to go out and gather that manna for that day. But you notice something about that manna. It wouldn't last until the second day. You couldn't gather enough on the first to last you throughout the week because on day two, that manna spoiled. So they needed each day to go out and get the manna for that day. And perhaps they didn't have a large enough container on the first day. No matter what size the container, it was always enough to satisfy them. And on the second day, perhaps they had a very large container and they filled it up. But it was never more than what they really needed. You see, each of us are challenged each day to spend time in God's presence and in God's word. And sometimes we have a little more time, and sometimes we may have less time. But the time that we have and the word that we take in, it sustains us and it strengthens us in order that we might serve God. You see, these people on board the ship, they were weak. They didn't have the strength to navigate the seas. They didn't have the strength to throw overboard and lighten the ship and to cast out the wheat. And they didn't have the strength to let down the anchors or to pull in the anchors. Why? Because they were weak. And I'm going to say, I think that typifies many Christians today, don't you? Who have no walk with God, who spend no time in God's word. But they're living in a storm-tossed world filled with darkness, and they've grown weak and impotent and wondering what's happened. I just want to say to you this morning, it's a good opportunity for you and I to eat some bread. The bread of life. Paul said, look, you haven't had anything to eat, so eat. And the Bible says in verse 35, he took the bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus did. Notice verse 36, the result. Then were they all of good cheer. You see, we need to strengthen one another. We need to encourage one another. And we need to be strengthened in God's word. That's why you need to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You need to be in a place where God's word is taught and preached. And it's not enough just to show up one time a week. I'm sorry. I love all of you, and I'm so glad you're here. But if you're going to thrive, if you're going to grow, if you're going to be filled with good cheer, if you're going to be of service to others on board the boat who don't know Jesus, I'm just going to say it's not like Brill Cream. A little dab is not going to do you. You need a dose every day. You need to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And you need to be strengthened. And you need to be of good cheer. Because as we're going to find out what happened on board that boat, well, that boat, the one end of that boat got stuck in the ground. It ran aground. And the waves were beating on the back of that boat, and it was breaking that ship apart. So what did they do? Well, they had gotten close enough to the shore where those who had the strength and ability to swim could swim. And those who didn't have the strength and ability to swim, what were they to do? Well, they were able to grab a hold of a board that was broken on that boat and ride the waves and surf on into shore. And I want you to see what happened in verse number 44. And the rest, speaking of those who couldn't swim, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. Verse 44, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. When all hope is gone, we got to strengthen one another. Because some of us are going to have to swim. And some of us are going to have to grab a hold of a board. But trusting in God and looking to Jesus, we're going to make it. And let's give him thanks for that. When all hope was gone, when all hope is gone, what do? Well, we have an opportunity to declare the good news. Let's declare it, church. We have an opportunity to receive it. Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Can I ask you a question this morning? Maybe you're here and you don't believe God, but God is speaking to you today, and you know you do believe, you need to believe God, that Jesus is the only hope in this world. Now, you see the inevitable storm that is coming to this world. Would you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Receive him. Believe on him and be saved. I want to invite you to do that today. When all hope is gone, let's stay together. It's no time to jump ship. We got to stay together. We need each other. And when all hope is gone, let's strengthen one another. Let's encourage one another.
Thank you for listening. We pray that God has used his word to speak to you today. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit us online at tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There, you'll find additional information about our church, opportunities to partner with us financially, as well as other resources that we hope can be a help to you. May God bless you, and thank you once again for listening.